morning. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. If you can, will you stand and worship with us today?
I see is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night.
For me, who can be against me? Yeah. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty.
Thank you, God.
All right, grab a seat, take a load off. Glad you guys are here this morning. My name's John. I am the pastor here at Discovery Community Church, and I think I'm part of clearly Men's Sunday. It's like, it is seriously a lot of testosterone, but Sarah's balancing the whole thing out this morning, so some of you need to be in prayer for Sarah right now. So anyway, it's a great day. So this is Chris. Yeah. How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay.
You're okay. You're less okay now that I'm
doing well.
Are you doing well? Thanks for being here, man.
Now that I'm on the spot.
Yeah, you're on the spot, yeah. We didn't practice this, did we? So, hey, thanks for being here. A couple of things. When you came in, hopefully you got a worship folder that looks like this. Inside it is all sorts of stuff. We want you to take a minute, just kind of peruse. Particularly if this is your first time with us, just take a few minutes. This will kind of help you kind of get a little bit of the lay of the land. It typically helps us feel a little more comfortable when we're in a new space. So take a minute, look through that. There is a card I'm going to highlight. It is our connection card. And I want to encourage everybody in the room to fill it out. So I know this is 2025. There's not a pen in sight. Hey, Dennis, do we have any pens back there, man? Yeah, pens. So Dennis has got some pens. There you go. Throw them out there to some people. So anyway, take a minute and fill this out at the very end. Oh, I'm getting louder all of a sudden. So maybe not that loud. But anyway, so at the end of the service, we're going to do what's called giving back to God. And we want to encourage you to drop this card in here. Now, why would you do that? Some of you, that'll feel like a big risk. So here's our promise. We're not going to show up on your doorstep unannounced. We're not going to sell you anything, sign you up for anything. But what we'd like to do is we'd like to connect with you. And we don't think here that church is like 70 minutes on a Sunday. It's not a program. It's a family. And so we would like to, when you're ready, help you take next steps to get connected into a family. So like, here's a couple of things that are happening. We have a couple of groups. Next week, there's a book study that's being kicked off right before service. If you'd like to be a part of that, that's a great way to get connected. We have a small group that's happening this afternoon. Kathy, are you in the room here? Kathy, stand up for a second. She's leading a group, it's meeting in Lakewood. If you'd like to, like, you know, dip your toe in the water, it's also online, she says. So if you just want to get connected and kind of find out a little bit more, that's a really safe way. And honestly, if you put your toe in the water this week with Kathy and you're like, hey, this is not for me, she'll totally understand, might even point you in some other directions. So anyway, this card is just a great way to kind of take a little step and say, and we'd love for you to take a step. Let us know that you're here. A couple other things that are happening is we have, after the service, if you are a volunteer at Discovery, at noon, we're going to have a luncheon. So around 11:30, we're going to start tearing down. If you want to help tear down, we'd love for you to hang for a little bit, tear down. If you would like to hang out at the luncheon and find out more about Discovery, find out more about the mission and vision of this church, we'd love to have you come. We're going to meet right here in this room, and that'd be it. Yeah. You good with that?
I am.
You are. Bobby, you want to say anything about small groups? I kind of took your thunder. You're the small group guy. You're like the guru here.
Oh.
Yeah. You got any words about getting involved in a group?
We have groups. We have a group that meets in sort of West Tacoma, if you want to say that. And we are inviting people to meet us on every other Tuesday at from 6:30 to 8. And we have a lot of space in our group.
Yeah.
But there's groups just like that all across our church. And so if you go to our church website, you can find out more or meet us at the connection point. We'd love to connect you to a group.
Absolutely.
And we're going to launch groups again in January. So if this season isn't right for you, be excited. Yeah. I'm going to start launching a group called The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Here in the mornings before service in 2026. So if you're interested in joining The Breakfast Club,
is it in the detention room?
It's in the detention room. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Library?
A library, maybe?
Not in the library, but we'll figure out a space and let you know. But as you said, church happens when we're in relationship, and that happens in groups. So we
awesome.
Want you to be a part of that.
Thanks. Hey, let's take a minute and let's pray together. And then after we pray, we're going to sing a couple songs. And then we're going to jump back into our teaching series. It's called Whale. It's up here on the screens. It's out of the book of Jonah. If you don't have a Bible, on the table back there, there are Bibles with you guys remember books with paper? So there's a Bibles with paper. You can grab one. It can be yours. Or you can open up your phone and use your Bible app. But let's take a minute and pray. Jesus, thank you so much for bringing us here in this space this morning. For some of us, It was just a natural, normal thing. It's not even on the calendar. We just do it. And we stopped at our favorite coffee shop. We got our favorite pastry. And some of us are here this morning, and everything's just right. What is also true is that for some of us in this space, this is a space filled with some anxiety and some fear. And it was challenging this morning to get here. And Father, I pray that whether we are like riding the wave, like on the top, or we are about ready to be crushed by it, I pray that you meet us in this space, draw us closer to you. In Jesus we pray, amen.
If you can, will you stand and worship with us?
The king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song.
Come on, church.
You are good. You're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good, oh, 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 you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Come on, fill this place with your praise.
And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Where I run, the fountain I
in a series called Whale. And there's moments in the story of Jonah where he's in darkness. Regardless of how he got there. Some of us might be walked in today in some dark spaces. I want you to know, I want to encourage you that God is there. He sees you. And I pray that this song is a blessing to encourage you in how you connect with God and what your mindset is in that space. Maybe you know the words. I need your help singing it on this Sunday. Maybe you don't. Just sit with it. I pray that he provides you clarity. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior. Bound and dressed in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still in all the Son of heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
encourage you to be seated just for a moment. We're going to continue this moment of worship, but do it in the very personal prayer time. I hate playing games. A lot of what we do here on Sunday mornings is try to kind of push through that that tendency for us as human beings to play games with God. This is a moment for you to be you, not anybody else. No one's looking at you, no one's watching, no one's taking notes. This is just that moment for you to be honest with God about where you are this morning. Where you are, it may be that you feel distant. This morning you may feel near. This morning when I ask, where are you? You might be dominated by your concern for somebody else. For the next couple of moments, let me encourage you to talk to God. Don't perform. Don't pretend. Just be you. Father, in this room, we will only bring honesty. For the next few moments, we're going to open what many have seen as an ancient book. However, many of us in this space, in this room, have discovered that it is something far different. It's your breath. In the opening pages of this book called the Bible, it tells us that in the beginning of humanity, you knelt down into the dirt. You leaned over a lifeless figure and you breathed in, and life began. We learn later in the New Testament this promise that all Scripture is God's breath. Just like in the first day you breathe life into the mug, in these last days you are breathing life into the mug. For the next few moments, I'm praying that in this space, in this room, you will give us courage to be pliable, soft, honest, open to you. And I'm praying that because I know that in these kind of spaces, it can be really challenging. But there is something incredible at work this morning. You are working an incredible work of redemption. And that thing, that's not just a far-off notion. It is real. It is here in this space. So I'm praying this morning for some men, and I'm praying for some women, those who are near and those who are far off, that as we open your word, you would speak to some hurting, weary, tired, cynical, souls. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 I want to encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Jonah. And if you don't have a pen, you can use your phone. Take some notes. I think I've said this on a number of occasions. I am not at all convinced that anything that I'm going to say is deeply profound, but I am convinced this morning that God speaks through His Word. In fact, I hold to this truth that God's Word never comes back. Old word is void. Like, God doesn't speak for nothing. Like, when God speaks, that's why I love the opening pages of the Bible. It says God created the entire world. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He just speaks, and there's a division between the sky and the earth. He speaks, and there's the fish of the seas. He speaks, and life develops. And what was true so many, many, many years ago is absolutely still true today. And He will speak. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, as we're going to have there's a screen here, and there's a screen here, and one behind me. We're going to have a lot of scriptures up. And one or more of them, I'm going to trust, we're going to hit really close to home. And when that happens, I want you just to write it down. It might be something that you're going to look at later today, or maybe something that you're going to read later in the week. And that's the kind of notes I'm encouraging you to take. In my opinion, you should never lean too much into a pastor. Like, it's not about the person teaching. It's about Jesus, and it's about His Word. And so this morning, I'm encouraging you to write down the things that God speaks through His Word, okay? So we're in a series called Whale. If some of you haven't been with us, I'm going to do my best to catch you up. I want you to fall in love with Jonah, hook, line, and sinker. Okay, I tried. I did three or four of them the first week, so no more. So anyway, we're in this study of the book of Jonah, and it is not a fish story. It's not a fish tale. It's really not about the fish at all. I know there's a lot of controversy around the book, around this miracle that takes place, but the book of Jonah is written by an actual human being, a prophet named Jonah, and he was writing about actual events that took place in history, not just events in history, but events that took place in his life. And the fish part is just it's significant, but it is not what the story or the book is about. The book of Jonah is about coming back to God when coming back is really hard. And that has been meaningful to people for a couple of thousand years. As we're reading from the book of Jonah, is recognizing that it really is a book about how a person comes back to God when coming back is really hard. And coming back to God is hard. Anybody, just a little amen, like a groaning one? Like, it's hard. Now, there's a lot of things that make coming back to God hard, and so we're taking several weeks to talk about the journey, and the journey is complex. I'm not going to try today to like make it super simple, and in the next 30 minutes, we're going to put it all in a little box and put a bow on it, but we're taking several weeks to talk about this journey back to God. Now, one of the things that makes the journey back to God, the journey with God, difficult, in all honesty, is that talking to God is hard. In fact, some of the reasons why people wander away from God can be traced back to difficulty in talking to God. I mean, talking to God, what's another word for talking to God? Praying. For some of us, praying can feel so hard, it can feel impossible, impossibly difficult. And challenging. And so sometimes it's just even the journey or the attempt to talk to God that makes it so hard to come back to God. Many people that I know, even sometimes maybe some of you heard me say this, I've called it one of the dirty secrets in the church. The dirty little secrets is that we love to end our emails, little cards we send to people, sometimes end a phone conversation, or maybe you bump into a friend and they're like, you're like, hey, how are you doing today? You're all up. And they're like, oh, I'm not so good. And then we're like, oh, okay. And then we just, without even thinking about it, we'll say, okay, man, I'll be praying for you, right? And then we say that phrase all the time, but for many of us, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what it looks like. It's a struggle for us. It's hard to interact with and pray and talk to God. And I think many of us live in what space I think is best described as an uncomfortable distance. Many of us, even as people of faith, we live in this space that I call an uncomfortable distance. I think it's best described in the opening pages of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. Some of you remember Adam and Eve. They were the first, and they eat an apple, a piece of fruit. We're not sure exactly. Maybe it was an apple. Not a Honeycrisp, but okay. So they ate a piece of fruit, and they turned away from God. And you guys might remember this. Let me just read a little of this. I think you'll see the uncomfortable distance, and maybe you might even see some of how this might relate to your own journey with God. It says in Genesis 3, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Wouldn't it be awesome to wake up and be like, God's here? We all like, that would be neat. Not for Adam and Eve. Because they were in an uncomfortable distance. They heard the sound of God as he's walking in the garden in the cool of the day, like he had many, many days before. And it says in verse 8, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I don't know if that describes you, but it describes so many of us. That God is walking, wanting to engage with us, wanting to be near us. We hear the sound of God, and they go hiding in the trees of the garden. In verse 9, it says, but even though they were hiding, it says, the Lord still called. Where are you? In verse 10, it says, the man answered, he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. So Adam and Eve, they're living the uncomfortable distance. And what I mean by that is it doesn't feel safe to them to get close to God. And it doesn't feel safe for them to be away from God. Does that make sense? Like it's this really miserable place to live. Like I'm hiding in this bush. The bush is uncomfortable. The bush is painful. I don't like it. And I'm also scared at getting closer to God. It's this really deeply uncomfortable place that not only Adam and Eve found themselves in, but so many of us find ourselves in today. And sometimes that's fueled by guilt. Sometimes that's fueled by shame or doubt or cynicism or some sort of mixture. But many of us find it difficult to talk to God. Now, I was doing some research this week about Jonah, and I bumped into a sermon, an old sermon, and the title was Jonah, : the praying prophet. And I kind of laughed a little. I thought, you're kidding me. Like, my first thought was, have you not read Jonah? So I think it might have been actually, I was thinking this morning, did I read it or did I listen to it? But anyway, I think I listened to it, this old sermon, and I listened to part of it, and there was lots of good stuff in there. To be honest, he never addressed why he called him the praying prophet, because let's be honest, Jonah was not good at praying. He really wasn't. Let me take you through the journey a little bit. This will help us go back. In the opening verse in the book of Jonah, I talked about this 2 weeks ago. We have no record of Jonah like, God, speak to me. We have no record of him begging for God's attention, begging for God to speak. Jonah just opens up like this. Let me read it to you. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. In other words, Jonah's sort of saying, I was minding my own business. I was doing my own stuff. And here comes God and interrupts with an encounter. Now, rather than being excited, being like, whoa, let me tell some people about this. This is so cool, so neat. Like, I hung out with God all day. We had worship songs. I got these, like, spiritual goosebumps in the back. It was just so awesome. You guys already know that's not how it went. Verse 3, this is Jonah's response. Ready? Jonah ran away. God comes to speak to Jonah. Jonah doesn't go, thank you. Whoa, neat. I got questions. He doesn't do any of that. He just gets up and he runs away. And by the way, as Jonah tells us, he doesn't just run away. He looks for the furthest away place he could go. Tarshish, in Jonah's time, was considered the edge of the world. It was the furthest, the westernmost point of the known world at that time. Nineveh was the, anybody know? It was the east. He just said, God, you want me to go there? Good luck. And he went as far away from God as he possibly could. This is not a guy who's good at prayer. Amen? You tracking? And then you notice what happens. He buys a ticket. He gets on a boat. And the boat hits some rough seas. Guys, remember this? Some waves come up, some winds. Things get sort of bad. Now the waves start going over the top of the boat. The boat's filling with water. Some seasoned sailors are like panicking. By the way, nearly everybody, this is like the normal thing, when things go bad, people pray. There's this old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. Yeah, I've never been in a foxhole, but it kind of makes sense. You know friends like this that have been like, I'm an agnostic, I'm not into God, but all of a sudden the stuff hits the fan and they're praying, right? Like it's norm. Things go bad. So they're on the boat. These seasoned sailors, some of them have little trinkets they pull out of their pockets. They're like, they're superstitions. They're rubbing them. They're holding them. They're clinging to things. Whatever religious symbol they had, they're working it. What's Jonah doing? He's, watch this, verse 5. The praying prophet, okay? All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they started throwing cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah went below deck and he laid down and he fell into a deep sleep. Jonah is like, I'm not praying. Now, some of you here 2 weeks ago, while he's sleeping, what happens? Captain goes down. I don't know if he's looking for something, but he finds Jonah, and he's like, what the flip? And he shakes Jonah, and he's like, we're sinking. What are you doing? Like, you should be working with us, or at least you should be what? Praying. Like everybody else. And so Jonah gets up, he goes up into the storm, and everybody's freaked out. He sees this little people grabbing things, praying, holding, doing whatever they possibly can. They find out that Jonah has a spiritual background, that he's a religious guy. And they're like, hey, why don't you kind of jump in on this thing? And they expect him to start praying. I don't know if you've ever been in a moment where maybe you've been at grandma's house, and grandma's been worried that you've not been at church. And so grandma says, hey, John, why don't you pray for dinner? Ever been in an uncomfortable moment like that? You went home to visit the fam, and you've been away from God for a long time, and they're like, hey, surprise, we have a church gathering tonight, and you got to go. And what do you typically do? You go. Like, you're not in. You're not all in with the God stuff, but you're going to be polite. Grandma asked you to pray at the table, so what are you going to do? You're going to dig deep. You're going to find some old prayer, and you're going to pull it out. You don't believe it. You're not there, but you're going to at least be polite. Are we tracking? So some of you know, like, this is telling part of your story right now. You've been in those moments. Jonah's in the middle of the worst moment, the entire group around him is like, hey, join us in prayer. What does Jonah say? He says, no, verse 12, throw me into the sea. little translation. I would rather die than pray to God. You know, sometimes, now we would never call it this in the middle of it, but sometimes we can be so self-righteous in our disobedience and our pushing away of God. We can be like, you know, I would never. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to play those games. I'm better than that. I'm not going to be like all those other hypocrites at the church. I'm not going to go there. This is where Jonah is. Talking to God has become so, so incredibly difficult to him that he would rather die than talk to God. It's an amazing sight. The top of that ship is filled with these hardened sailors, these adventurers. At the beginning of the story, were holding their trinkets. But I don't know if you... We won't go all the way. I'm getting a little lost because I'm just finding this so incredible. I don't want to spend too much time here, but it's just so rich that they started out holding their trinkets, and just before they toss Jonah into the sea, they begin to pray themselves to the one and only God. Like, they're praying for forgiveness. They're asking, they're repenting when Jonah refuses, right? And they, like, reluctantly, they toss Jonah into the sea, and the sea grows calm, and they have a worship service on the top of the ship to the one and true living God. It's like an amazing revival that breaks out on this boat for everybody except for one guy named Jonah. Well, Jonah, as he goes over the boat, he sinks into the depths, to the darkness. He sinks further and further, like foot by foot, he sinks deeper into the darkness. And then a miracle. Well, two miracles. One miracle looks really big, but it is actually really small. And one miracle takes place in the depth that looks incredibly small, but is so incredibly big. The first miracle, you can probably guess, as he sinks deeper and deeper into the depths, God sends a fish to swallow Jonah whole. But while Jonah is still in the depths of the ocean, in the depth of that fish, another miracle takes place. It's a smaller miracle, but it is incredibly significant. Jonah tries to talk to God again. That's the miracle. One broken man. One man wrapped up in disappointment and discouragement. One man swallowed by his own doubt, his own disobedience, likely struggling with depression. The miracle is one man, one broken man, tries to talk to God again. And it changes everything. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. We spent so much time talking about a whale. This is not a book about a whale. This isn't a book about a big fish. This is a book about one broken person taking one small but incredibly significant step back to life that will change not just his life, but the life of many, many people for many, many years to come. I want you to read along with me from Jonah chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter together. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and your breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished from your sight, Yet I will look again to your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Verse 10, sorry, it ends this way. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. There's got to be a better word for it than that. But I don't know. Maybe that's what it really is best represents when we come out of the gunk, you know? But isn't that amazing? From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. One man, one broken man, tried to talk to God again, and it changed everything. Like, he came out of it, friends, not because the whale got tired of him, not because the problem itself got smaller, insignificant, not even because Jonah had a better way of looking at the world. Everything changed because Jonah took the risk of talking to God again, and it changed absolutely everything. Jonah tried to talk to God again, not because it now was convenient. Was it convenient in the fish? Nope. He tried to talk to God again, not because it was familiar and the right setting, the right church, the right worship music, the right light show. Was it any of those things? No. He didn't try to talk to God again because it was easy now, but because his soul could no longer take the uncomfortable distance. He no longer would let the anger, the disappointment, the shame, the doubt, the fear to fuel this uncomfortable distance. And so he simply, I want you to write it down. I've said it intentionally. He simply tried to talk to God again, and it changed everything. What did it change? Like, the whole chapter, Jonah is like, he's like screaming at us, like, listen, guys, I've been in the worst spot, but I tried to talk to God again, and on the other side of the try, it was miraculous. Like, he says that there was this miraculous attentiveness. Did you see in the beginning? He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Like, if you've been distant from God, Jonah says, listen, the miracle is that God will answer and respond to even the most distant. Jonah says there was this merciful welcome. He says in the next verse, from the deep, I called for help. And what was so amazingly cool is that you listened to my cry. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if that's not amazing to you, then your soul has gotten a little too cold. Like Jonah's saying, how amazing it is that the God of the universe would actually mercifully choose to be concerned about the things in my life. That's amazing. He goes on to say, not only that, but I had this genuine restoration. He goes on to say, I have this unexplainable, I love that word, by the way, this unexplainable joy. He says, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I'll make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. By the way, this is just moments before he's vomited up by the fish. And he says, it is there in the depth, in the belly of this fish, this stinking, rotten place, that I have this unexplainable joy. And it's only because one broken man tried to talk to God again. In Matthew 11 in the New Testament, Jesus says these words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This isn't just an ancient story about a single person. This is for you. God is inviting you to try to talk again. I have this bend to the practical. Some of you have known me a long time, and I try to look to like, okay, what do we do? I don't like just trying to like hype. So if you're here today and you're like, okay, I use this word uncomfortable distance, and that's me. I'm in this space. Part of me longs to get closer to God, and part of me feels like it's just safer to stay away. But as you're talking and as we're reading, I want to take some steps. So I want to share with you 4 steps to try to talk to God again. And this is going to be all from Jonah. Number 1, don't wait for perfect circumstances. Again, Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. From, what's the second word? Everybody. From inside the fish. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Next verse, verse 2. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep, in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Is Jonah in ideal circumstances? Nah. He's not in a sweet church service that's playing his kind of music with his kind of people. Nice seats, comfortable place. He's not in like a mountaintop where he's able to, you know, watch the mist come off of Mount Rainier, you know, and it'd be like 63 degrees and partly cloudy, you know. He's not in the sweet spot. It's just today. It's right here in the mess. It's right here where the doubts are, they're still here. The questions are still here. The disappointment, the depression. That cloud has just not yet left. But it's here, not waiting for perfect circumstances. Number 1, don't wait for the perfect circumstances. Number 2, this is going to mean a lot to some of you. Don't wait for the perfect words. I want you to hear Jonah's prayer. And let's do a little critique. Verse 3. Remember, this is, he's talking to God. He says, everybody, let's read it together. This is really rich. Everybody, together. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Next verse. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I'll look again towards your holy temple. What do you see in these 2 little verses? His opening prayer. Blame, like the B-L-A-M-E is big time. Did you notice that? Like, it was your waves. I don't know. He says, you banished me. God's probably like, are you kidding me? I invited you. You went the other way. I didn't banish you. I'm not against you. I didn't make all this stuff happen to you. I didn't throw you into the waves. Whose idea was it to go into the deep? Jonah's. Jonah said, throw me into the water. Okay, so here's the point. We could pick on Jonah all we want, but here's the beauty, friends. Watch this. He was talking to God. And you have some things that are going on inside your head and your heart that are not healthy or not right. But if you're waiting till you get the right words, and then you can really mean, dear Lord is Goddeth, you are greateth, and I knoweth. You're never going to come back. You can start your prayer today like this. I'm mad. I don't think that this is fair. I didn't earn this. I don't deserve this. Why did you do this to me? And God has these amazingly big shoulders. He's going to walk you through this. But you have to start with your imperfect words and your imperfect circumstances. That's how the restoration begins. Third step, just take simple first steps. Verse 7, Jonah says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. What's that look like for us? I don't have it figured out, but you are good. And you remember little simple things that are true. And you start dwelling on them. Before you feel it, you recite something that you learned in Sunday school as a kid or from your mother or from a friend. And you recite it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And my cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's called remembering. You don't have anything good to say today. But you're going to remember what is true about God. And then last thing, number 4, is you keep it up. I want to take you to verse 9. Because I kind of blasted through it really fast earlier and you might have missed it. Verse 9, he says, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. There's a phrase that appears 3 times in that verse. Did you catch it? Let's go back in the first slide of that, of 2:9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, everybody, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Next slide. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. While Jonah was experiencing joy in the middle of that fish in the depth, he was also making a commitment. I'm not there yet. But I will keep moving forward. I don't feel what I felt when I was 15 at camp and made that first decision for Jesus. I don't feel today what I felt when I was 25 and God stepped in and there was this complete radical change in my life. I don't feel it today. I don't feel what I felt last year, but I will keep moving forward toward him who saved me, toward the God who's walking in the garden right now, saying, where are you? I will keep moving forward. This is how you try to talk to God again. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is not just an ancient story about a fish. This is a book, a guide on how to come back to God when coming back to God is hard. In this room, there is disappointment and there are questions. There's fear. We live in this uncomfortable distance. But you have been designed by God to respond to his voice. And just you being here, and I don't mean here on a Sunday morning at Lincoln High School. I mean actually, October 19th, 2025, is a sign that God's not done with you. So try to talk to God again. Sarah's going to play just for a minute, and I'm going to invite you to do whatever you need to in this little quiet moment. Take whatever step that you need to take. After a couple of moments, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song together. By the way, if you're not done doing some business while we're singing, don't get up and pretend. Whatever business that you need to do between you and God, do that. If in a few minutes you need someone to talk to, I'm going to introduce you to Kathy. Kathy's here. Kathy, where would you be? Over here by this TV. If you want to pray with somebody, Kathy will be here. Tad is in the back. Tad, will you raise your hand? Tad, where will you be in the next couple minutes? Right back there. If you want to pray with somebody, these two people will be available. They would love to pray with you. Let's take a minute. Let's all bow. Why did God bring you here this morning? From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep, deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves, all your breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank. I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in like forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought me up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And those who cling to worthless idols, they turn away from God's love for them. But I with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish. And it vomited Jonah to dry land. Father, thank you for a few moments this morning. You know exactly where we are. You know where we are. I'm praying for my friends here in this room that you give us some courage to step out of the uncomfortable distance into the nearness of your presence that is real, it's accessible, it's available to broken people like us. I'm inviting you, Holy Spirit, to work an amazing work in the life of us. Give some of us courage this morning to come home. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. The worship team is going to invite you to sing and join whenever you'd like. At the end of the song, some friends in the back here, they're going to come forward at the end of the song and they'll start passing these baskets. And during that time, we want to encourage you to drop in that connection card. There'll be people around you that are going to use those baskets to give financially to the mission and work of God. And if this becomes your church home, I hope that's a part of your regular weekly way to worship. But if you're a guest with us, don't put any dollars in there. Maybe just drop that card. I'll leave that up to you. Team, would you lead us?
Too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. And I know that I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. Start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. Again and again and again. running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again, and I'll run to the Father, I'll fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend, so I'll run to the Father again.
Jesus, we are grateful for a few minutes this morning. In a high school cafeteria, where regular broken people breathe in your exhale. All week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I pray you draw us to your word, and then you continue to breathe your life into not only broken lives, but the broken spaces and places where we live. We want to thank you for these moments and your miraculous mercy. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Go ahead and come on, and we're going to pass these baskets while I'm chatting. Last couple things. We want to encourage you to take a few minutes this morning. Hang with us. We have in the back, we got some coffee. We have a few snacks. Hang out with us for a little bit. In about 10 or 15 minutes from now, you're going to see people picking up some chairs. If you'd like to jump in and help out a little bit, it'd make a huge difference, but it's also a great way to meet some people. We have one of the things I didn't mention inside your worship folder is we're beginning a month of focused on missions. This church, we're on mission, not just here, but around the globe. We have partners, and we send teams on trips. So the next few weeks, you're going to hear about ways that this church is involved locally and globally. So you probably saw a little sheet there. It tells you little things that are coming up and that you can expect. Again, if you'd like to get connected, there's some easy ways to take some steps today. If you're not ready to be connected, we get that. You know, it's a little weird to go to a church. Amen? It's a little weird. So we understand that. When you're ready, there's a family here and a place for you and a mission for you. So when you're ready, we'd love to be a part of that journey with you. Thank you guys so much. I don't know anything else. Do we got a cymbal crash or anything? What should we do? Nothing. JJ wasn't even ready for that. JJ's just hanging in there. By the way, JJ is now a daddy of two. His wife is here somewhere, but anyway, I'm pretty in awe that he's playing. Give him a round of applause again. Like, although they're an amazing couple and a family, so anyway. Anyway, thanks for coming. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.